Hello and warm greetings to everyone. Welcome to today's special episode of Radio and Youth Podcast. It's me, Preeti Sarkar, your host for the episode. This is a special episode talking to children and youth in the Pacific on disaster risk reduction and climate crisis. In the series of the podcast episode of the project, Youth Leading Disaster Risk Reduction and Climate Action through Multimedia Advocacy, Resilience Now and Into the Future. This series is initiated by Sendai Stakeholders Children and Youth Group and Major Group for Children and Youth, MGCY, powered and hosted by Youth for Environment Education and Development Foundation, YFED, with generous funding and support by United Nations Office for Disaster Risk Reduction, UNDRR. In our today's episode, we will hear the journeys of young people from the Pacific who have initiated and have been working in the sectors of disaster risk reduction and climate crisis. We will know about their works, their achievements, their memories they have made, their motivations and their way forward in the upcoming days about how to combat the rising frequency and intensified disasters more exacerbated due to the changing climate. So let's begin. For our today's episode, we have our speakers, Ms. Davina and Ms. Maria, here with us today. A warm welcome to the both of you in our today's episode of the Radio and Youth Podcast. We, all of us, look forward to hearing from the both of you. Before we begin into our conversation on the topic today, I would like to request the both of you to introduce yourselves to all our listeners hearing us. Over to you.
Thank you, Preeti. It's an honor and a pleasure to be a part of this podcast. My name is Davila Talemai Malea, and I am from Fiji, specifically from Bautailevu, with maternal links to Navatahula and Nita Siri. Really, as a child growing up, I've always loved nature and protecting the environment. This led me to further my studies through acquiring a Bachelor of Science in Environmental Health, and later on acquiring a postgraduate diploma in climate change. I'm also one of the co-founders of a youth-led network in Fiji called Alliance for Future Generations, which focuses on inspiring, motivating, and empowering youths to be agents of change, working around sustainable development and a sustainable future for all. I'm also a member of Sustainable Ocean Alliance and the Pacific Center for Environment and Sustainable Development Student Association. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Davila, for introducing yourself. We are really, very glad to have you here with us in our today's episode of the podcast. So over to you, Maria.
Hafele, everybody. Wahu si Maria Sol Duane Smarks. I am a young Chamorro artist and community advocate. I'm also a junior in high school. I'm a youth member of Ihagan Famalang Guahan, a Guahan-based girls and women's group, as well as head of the creative sector for Guam Youth Climate Strike.
Thank you so much, Maria. We are very happy to have you here with us today as well. So talking about children and youth working in the sectors of disaster risk reduction and climate action in the Pacific region, we would like, since you have mentioned about what you have been doing lately, we would also like to know about how you have started your journey working in the sectors of disaster risk reduction and climate action. Like, about when did you start working in the sectors and how long it has been you have been working in the sectors and lots more. So over to you guys.
Thank you, Preeti. First started working around DRR and climate change back in 2015, 2016. I was a temporary relieving officer, specifically a senior assistant health inspector. During my time as a health inspector, that's where I worked around DRR and climate change. In addition, there we also encountered the severe tropical cyclone Winston here in Fiji. And through that, we had gone out to communities and we had donated some clothes and even distributed food rations as well. And really going out to these communities, for me, it was an eye-opening experience, one that I would never forget, being able to see all the destruction that was caused, destruction of trees, homes, schools, churches, and really just whole communities. And through this, I'd later decided to study climate change or further my studies in climate change. and also to be more involved with youth networks, focusing on climate change and on climate action on the ground. And I've also worked around being a young researcher in a project entitled Asia Pacific Researchers, Practitioners and Policymakers in Dialogue with Children and Youth, led by UNMGCY and SEI, the Stockholm Art Institute, and further worked around disaster relief with the recent tropical cyclones Yasa and Ana that happened in Fiji end of 2020 and beginning of 2021. So I've really been working around the area of DRR and climate action for around 5 to 6 years. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much, Davila. I hope that the work experiences and the stories that you have shared with us will surely inspire some others to work in these sectors as well. So over to you, Maria. When did you start working in the sectors of disaster risk reduction and climate action, and how have you been feeling about it? Over to you.
Thank you so much. I definitely always had a passion and love for the environment. I was brought up by a lot of academics and women who always encouraged me to stay aware of my surroundings, as well as with the issues that were going on around my island. So this was always a topic that I was encouraged to stay interested in. I was also very inspired by a lot of my teachers in middle school and also in high school as well, who took the time to teach their students about artists like Kathy Jekyll Kitchener, who wrote about the ways that climate change had devastated her home in the Marshall Islands, and that frustration that she had, as well as the grief and all those complex feelings that came with, you know, an issue like climate change and its effects. And, you know, seeing this really inspired me. It gave me the language and a way to talk about my frustrations, about feeling so helpless and small in such a big world that I felt like you can't really make any changes. And so I spent a really long time doing art and learning more about these issues. I was a youth member of GCC Eco Warriors, as well as a youth member of Ihagen Themalawang Gwahan. Through this, I was able to learn a lot more from my elders. I was able to learn the necessary language and skills again to talk about these kind of issues, as well as, you know, what to call them and all, you know, all these things just kind of, you know, that were preparing me for later on in May of 2020, when I was invited to be a part of Guam Youth Climate Strike. That was our first organization that we headed, and we do a lot of work in policy as well as with the public, doing, putting out social media posts as well as holding local workshops.
Thank you so much, Maria. It's quite inspiring to hear what you have been doing as well. So since we have been talking about young people working in the sectors of disaster risk reduction and climate change, what are the major impacts that climate change and disasters have created on the small island development states, especially amongst the children and youth? Since we have heard a lot about how changing climate and disasters has impacted on island states and the different disasters that you have mentioned earlier as well, we would especially would like to know about how they have impacted on children and youth in your region. So over to you guys.
When we're looking at small island developing states, so they're in the forefront of receiving the brunt impacts of climate change, especially small atolls such as Tuvalu, Marshall Islands, and Kiribati. And these impacts include more intense and frequent tropical cyclones, floods, drought, increase in sea level rise, and warming of global sea surface temperatures. Yet small island developing states contribute the least to global carbon emissions. If you really look at it, it's negligible, and they are the ones who are greatly impacted by climate change. For Fiji, we've seen that communities have already been identified to relocate. And when we talk about climate adaptation, relocation is seen as the last resort for any island. Unfortunately, communities in Fiji have already been relocated. Some of these communities include Bunindongoloa and Tukuraki Village. And we also see that the government notes that there are 830 vulnerable communities that require relocation, to which 48 communities have been identified as being in urgent need of relocation. Really, for young people and for children moving from, or for whole communities, moving from one area to another, relocating from a place where you call your home, or you, where your fathers grew up, where your forefathers grew up, and moving from that place to go to a new place, or to need to adapt to living in a new environment, it's not something that's easy. It's not something that anyone wants to do. And unfortunately, this is the case for several communities here in Fiji and more communities later on in the future. Some stories that we've also heard around the climate spaces here in Fiji discuss how some children, when it's heavily raining, they feel frightened because it brings back traumatic memories of encountering a severe tropical cyclone, which had damaged their house, their village, their island. And even now, the whole nation has been warned that there is a moderate to high chance of having a tropical cyclone by Monday, January 10th, 2021. And this in itself, for me as a youth, it really makes me scared because we don't want to encounter another tropical cyclone. The same time, almost the same time last year, we had TC Ana, and that in itself was devastating. It was a Category 5 tropical cyclone. And none of us want to experience these tropical cyclones. But unfortunately, with impacts of climate change, one of the impacts is more intense tropical cyclones. And it is a reality that we have to live through, not just here in Fiji, in the Pacific, and across the world. Thank you.
Yeah, Davila, it's quite disheartening to hear about what the situation looks like in the small island development states. We hope that in the nearby future, we would not have to hear about any sort of impacts caused by climate change or any sort of disasters in the nearby days ahead. So over to you, Maria. How has climate change and disasters impacted your region, especially amongst the children and youth, the impacts that you have observed? So over to you.
Well, definitely with small islands developing statehood, they are more susceptible to the effects of climate change. Programs within DRR that are developed in other regions, you know, not on islands, or like in America, for example, as a lot of protocol that we take in Guam as under the settler colonial state, also are usually American, and these are meant, and they're figured out around stateside protocols, which are made exclusively for those kinds of regions. By doing that, we don't prioritize our environment, and we need to take time to learn more about how these issues, such as climate change, uniquely affect us and uniquely affect our way of living, so that we can create plans that actually fit them. Otherwise, they just prove ineffective. Especially as a people who do not contribute to climate change on the level that America does, but are a lot more susceptible to the effects of it. As well with youth, it's always about future. We always have to talk about the way that climate change affects our future, because that is what it is. It's a long-term issue. It has been slowly creeping up on us for such a long time. And for example, like the tropical cyclones that Davila was talking about, we ignore the effects of climate change and let it become to a point where people have to leave their own home. We're taking away a future and a culture and a home away from these children. And that's something that, especially since it is our home and this, it should be our indigenous right and birthright. It's just awful that we have to have that taken away from us, you know?
Absolutely right. The impacts of climate change and the disasters in the small island countries and other developing nations of the world is quite disheartening at the moment. And it's especially impacting on children and young people, because they are the ones to be hit first and the hardest due to the changing climate and disasters. We hope that in the nearby future, none of the young people living in any corners of the world would have to face this challenge. Neither they would have to leave their families nor their homes. So we ought to work harder today so that we can achieve a sustainable and safe future in the nearby future ahead of us. So since you have been talking about the impacts that you have been observing in your communities, you have been talking about how you have been working in these sectors, I'm 100% sure that working in this sector must not have been easy. So we would like to know about what are the major challenges that you have faced while working in this sector, and how do you manage to overcome all of them? So over to you guys.
Thank you, Preeti. For me, as of current, I am a volunteer in the Youth-Led Network Alliance for Future Generations. And really, most of the work that I do and that we do as a part of the network is through our own passion. And so it is volunteer work. So really, one of the major hurdles mentally is really when you want to help communities, you want to help people who are in need or who are impacted, but we're not able to due to financial setback. And for us, really, to overcome this issue, we try to find other avenues in providing assistance, maybe through joining other networks or through partnering with other youth networks or with other organizations focusing on climate change and DRR, and really asking for their assistance, maybe creating proposals or, you know, wanting to let ourselves be seen so that we can assist in any way possible. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Davila. We hope that the concerned authorities and the other bodies working nearby you would help you to work further in the sectors, and you receive lots of helping hands as well from the other young people around you. So over to you, Maria. What are the major challenges that you have faced, and how did you manage to overcome them?
Thank you so much. I'm a student and I work a part-time job. Also trying to take time to be able to create art as well. I'm in my junior year, which is notorious for always having the most tests and exams out of all the years. With the issue as big as climate change, it can really stress you out, and it's definitely easy to get very swept up with all the constant news and ideas that, you know, sometimes it feels like you just can't keep rolling with the punches and you just don't even know what to do. It can get really stressful, and like I always use the word helpless because that's like the one word that I feel like can describe that feeling best. Kind of that looming dread that you feel like you can't really do anything, you just feel really lonely with it. And the way I overcome it, I try not to put so much pressure on myself to do constant work alone. I like to do work within the community, or at least organization based. Being around other passionate, like-minded people makes it a lot more easier and efficient as well to do work. It gives you the opportunity to delegate tasks to each other that allow our strengths to shine and offer nuance and diverse conversation within our group so that we're always thinking. It keeps the conversation going between each other, so when we leave our meetings, we are never left without more questions and learned knowledge, and as well as a little bit of an outline for what our next steps are with our project. Creating art is definitely another way that I've found to keep my hope alive. For Independence Guahan, actually, I held a workshop for their General Assembly, which was all about making art that was motivated by hope. We took the time while we were drawing to talk about possible futures that we had in mind, which we just then painted our possible futures together and all talked about it and talked about our ideas, even if they were very far-fetched. And really just made everything a lot lighter, and everyone left it feeling a little more empowered.
I totally agree. It's quite difficult to continue. Like, there are times when people start working in this sector and they leave from the midway because there is a situation of helplessness, as you said. We hope that in the nearby future, the ones who are entrusted to work in these sectors would not have to face this. And obviously, there will be more helping hands for you to continue working in this sector. So moving ahead, since we have been talking about our work working in the sectors of disaster risk reduction, the impacts that has been observed, especially on youths and children, we would also like to know about the situation about the participation of youths and children in this sector. What do you think about the participation of youths and children in the sectors of disaster risk reduction and climate action, especially from the small island development states? Are they likely to work in the sectors in the upcoming days, or like they're not a kind of entrusted to work in the sectors? What do you have to say on this? Over to you guys.
Yes, I do believe that they are likely to work in these sectors. For us here in Fiji, climate change is actually a part of our education system. So a lot of our youths or young people, they're learning about climate change from an early age. And, you know, I've actually heard of, you know, there are several countries around the world where they don't have climate change or they don't learn about climate change during their younger years. So I think that's a positive aspect for us here And I think that also pushes younger children and youths to participate or to work in this sector, especially also when they do actually experience it. It's a lived experience. You know, when tropical cyclones occur, they see it with their own eyes, they hear. Fiji is such a small country, really, like everyone somehow knows everyone. So when one community or when several communities are impacted, you will, there is someone that you know, a family member, a relative that has been a part of the community or that is living in the community, and it really affects us, you know, as a communal society. And having that effect on us really does push us towards wanting to protect our country, to protect our people, our culture, our identity, and to push for climate leaders to really focus on protecting our country, protecting the region.
Yeah, obviously the participation of young people has obviously grown than that in the past, and we hope that the number goes on increasing in the nearby future as well. So over to you, Maria. What do you think about the participation of young people in the sectors, especially from the small island development states, and are they likely to participate in this sector in the upcoming days or not?
I think especially with the pandemic, as of late, a lot of youths have been realizing the importance about having these conversations and getting out there and advocating for these issues. Especially, like I was saying, this, the way I got inspired to start talking about these issues is very similar to the way that a lot of other youths got into this sector as well. Seeing adults who were doing these things, and you know, we had an idea of what climate work looked like, but we never thought we could do that. But then getting and seeing it all hands-on, so you know, I was always very inspired by my ama, who watching her present at conferences and work nights and nights on her book deadlines, and seeing that made me think that I could do that too. And I think that's what it really takes, is because a lot of young people may feel very intimidated and distressed and upset about these issues. They might also think of climate change as kind of this distant tell that doesn't really affect their livelihood as much. And just getting them more aware, you know, so they have those feelings of being upset and distressed and terrified about what will happen if they don't really make any changes.
Yeah, absolutely. It's high time that young people start realizing about the changing climate and disasters that's increasing day by day and impacting lives, not only theirs, not only their families, but everyone living in any corners of the world. And it's high time we start taking actions against it. And a single effort will surely not be enough to tackle this very big challenge, so we would obviously need many other helping hands to join us in the journey to combat this changing climate. So since we have been talking about the participation of children and young people being increased than that in the past in this sector, how do you think that we can increase much more participation of young people in the nearby future? What is needed to be done in order to enhance the participation of children and youths in the sector of disaster risk reduction and climate action processes in the nearby future? Over to you, Davira.
Thank you, Priti. I believe some of the things that we could do is have more awareness programs and also virtual trainings on DRR and climate action. And not just have virtual trainings, but also like have follow-up trainings in which you monitor and evaluate those trainings. So you ensure that the trainings that are given out, the participants, maybe they could have a refresher training, or you could see how well the training was for them. And some other things that we could do is have research funding for young people to conduct research around young people, DRR, and climate change. Also provide funding and technical support for young people, maybe capacity building on DRR and climate action, to engage them in regional and international conferences around DRR and climate action, such as the Asia Pacific Ministerial Conference on DRR or the Conference of the Parties.
Thank you so much, Davila. We hope that these suggestions would be addressed by the concerned authorities so that they can bring more young people into action. Over to you, Maria. What do you think about how we can enhance the participation of young people working in the sectors of disaster risk reduction and climate action?
I think that education will always be key. Like Davila was saying, the importance of awareness programs, we need to be working on creating environments that prioritize the team building and community fostering skills and, you know, even the love that is necessary to take on these kind of problems. We need to help young people also develop their own relationships to the land, the air, and the water. That's what's going to motivate them, inspire them to take a stand in protecting it. It's about inspiring them and giving them something to really be mad about and that passion. We see a lot of talks about the science of climate change, and of course we can understand the science of why it's an important issue, but a lot of people can't process that in a way that is passionate enough to the point where they actually want to do something about it.
Absolutely right. Like, we hope that the level of awareness, like you said, the scientific level of awareness on the changing climate and disasters would be increased in the nearby future amongst the young people, so that more people can join us in the journey to combat this rising threat of climate change. So we are now almost at the end of our today's session. So before we end our session today, is there anything that you would like to share before we end?
I wanted to share with you all the infresi. So, infresi, kini mastakilo, ki hinosoku, imastakulo, ki kurasonhu, zan imasfigu, nan minyasu, hu infresi maisazu, parabayahu protehi, zan hu defendi, I hinengi, I kultura, I languahi, I ai, I hanam zani town of tomorrow, ni irishoku, diretsu, ginazuas tata, esti hu afitma, I hilo I bilia zan I bararahu I bararanguahan. Santa Marasi.
Thank you so much, Maria. Davila, if there is anything that you would like to share before we end today.
I think I'll just leave it with what Maria had just recited. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Davila, and thank you so much, Maria. Now with this, we have come to the end of our today's episode on children and youth in Pacific on disaster risk reduction and climate action. It was great hearing from the both of you once again from all of our sides for sharing your valuable words and wonderful stories with us. We hope this session has been informative and inspiring to all our listeners as well. We will be back with our next episode in the series very shortly. Until then, stay safe and start acting green. Bye-bye. Keep listening to Radio and Youth Podcasts.